Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. The NCAA sanctions were announced a few minutes ago. The NCAA sanctions against Penn State for the cover-up of 12 years of child sex abuse by an assistant coach at Penn State. He's now been convicted and sentenced. The sanctions, a $60 million fine to be placed in an endowment to go to help victims of child sex abuse. $60 million is the amount of 1 year of gross revenue of the football team. A four-year bowl ban. Scholarship reduction from 25 to 15 scholarships for 4 years. The wins from 1998 to 2011 are vacated. 5 years of probation for the program. And a formal investigation of individuals after the criminal cases have concluded to see if there should be sanctions on individuals. NCAA President Mark Emmert also addressed the so-called death penalty. They decided not to remove the football program from Penn State altogether.
After much debate, however, we concluded that the sanctions needed to reflect our goals of driving cultural change as much as apply punitive actions. Suspension of the football program would bring with it significant unintended harm to many who had nothing to do with this case. The sanctions we have crafted are more focused and impactful than that blanket penalty.
What do you think? Today we have an open forum. Want to talk about Penn State? What do you want to talk about? Two big stories in the news today, in the United States at least, Penn State sanctions and also the continuing coverage of the massacre in Aurora, Colorado in a movie theater Friday night. Premiere of the new Batman movie. What do you think about it? 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You can also go to the All Sides with Ann Fisher go to the All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page and post your question or comment there. You can email me at allsides@wosu.org. What are your thoughts? What do you think about the Penn State sanctions? Someone said on Facebook today, they don't matter to us. What do they matter? It only matters to Penn State. But there have been lots of assertions that there's a parallel between what did or didn't happen in Penn State regarding the abuse and what did or didn't happen at Ohio State when there was a cover-up by the former football coach of misdeeds by some OSU football players. Is there a parallel there? Some say that the parallel is that football is more important than basic moral principles anymore. It's more important. It's more important than stopping a child sex abuser. It's more important than stopping some shenanigans by many measures of football players. But shenanigans that were breaking the rules. What do you think? 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. NCAA President Mark Emmert also said Penn State can now focus on rebuilding its athletic culture and not worry about whether it is going to a bowl game.
One of the grave dangers stemming from our love of sports is that the sports themselves can become too big to fail, indeed too big to even challenge. The result can be an erosion of academic values that are replaced by the value of hero worship and winning at all costs. All involved in intercollegiate athletics must be watchful that programs and individuals do not overwhelm the values of higher education.
That was NCAA President Mark Emmert talking about the sanctions against Penn State. Let's see, sacked with a four-year postseason ban, the loss of 40 scholarships over 4 years, and a $60 million fine, all stemming from its cover-up in the wake of the Jerry Sandusky child sex abuse scandal. In addition, all victories from 1998 to 2011 have been vacated. It's a big blow to the legacy of Joe Paterno, but, of course, his statue came down as well yesterday, a 900-pound, 7-foot, larger-than-life, of course, statue of Joe Paterno. Give us a call, 614-292-8513, and tell us what you think about that. Caitlin in Upper Arlington, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I just would like to discuss the sense of authority that the NCAA has. I guess I just don't understand why current students now are being punished for being a part of the program. certainly not to, desensitize or discount the severity of the issue, but why does this have to come from the NCAA?
Because I imagine it's because there are certain moral standards that the people who run the football programs at our colleges and universities that are overseen by the NCAA, mm-hmm. when they break those rules, they have to reveal if there's a crime being committed.
Yeah.
Just as the same thing with at OSU. They're
right.
breaking the NCAA rules, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know if there's a direct link per se. I just think it's an obligation.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
I think that's what they think. My opinion's kind of irrelevant. But what do you think about it? What do you think would send the right message without hurting anybody?
Well, I mean, people have to be held responsible. So there has to be accountability. And it's just, I think it's a matter of punishing the program without hurting, maybe the COFTA scholarship shouldn't have been taken away. But absolutely, there has to be accountability for this. And so I understand the sense of needing to recreate an acceptable and moral culture within the campus and within the program. But I don't know. I think it's a little severe, personally, just for the current students.
And they also moved forward on this very, very quickly.
Yeah.
After the conviction of Jerry Sandusky, how it really played out for quite a much longer time when it came to OSU's problems. And there also might be more penalties or individual sanctions coming down as mm-hmm. the criminal trials or the criminal cases against individuals that did know and didn't report the child abuse come forward.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's a good question. I mean, there's been questions about the NCAA authority and how much power it has for a long time. So
that's so scary.
All right. Well, Caitlin, thanks for your call.
And thank you so much. Have a great day.
You bet. You too.
Thanks.
See what other people think about that. Do you think the NCAA has too much power? Give us a call. It's an open forum. 614-292-8513. We also welcome your emails as well at allsides@wosu.org. Paul in Worthington, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Paul.
Hi, Ann. I'm getting off the football topic. I'm going back to this horrific event in Colorado.
Okay.
And God knows we've seen on television. I'll try to be brief. I'm not anti-gun. I don't own any firearms, but some branch of my family has owned plenty of them, used them responsibly. I would ask that the NRA and other supporters of we should be able to have any firearm we want, no matter what it is. I would ask them to justify, the business about, hunting. At least if I understand the dispatch, this fellow had a drum magazine that would hold 100 rounds. Well, if you haven't hit the deer in the first 10 or 20 shots, chances are the deer's gotten away. If you're defending your castle, do you need a firearm that can sustain that kind of firepower? I guess what I'm saying is there must be some reasonable limit between something that will hold 10 or 15 rounds and something that will absolutely be a combat weapon.
Let's turn to the Aurora Police Chief, Dan Oates. He explains the amount of weapons and ammunition legally purchased by suspect Holmes before the night of the shooting.
In the last 60 days, he purchased 4 guns at local Metro gun shops. And through the internet, he purchased over 6,000 rounds of ammunition.
That's Aurora Police Chief Dan Oates explaining the amount of weapons and ammunition that was legally purchased by the suspect before the night of the shooting. Paul, thanks for your call. We'll see what people think.
Thank you.
Yep. 614-292-8513 is the number to call. Terry in Youngstown, you want to talk about child sex abuse in your role as a teacher. Welcome to the show. Yes.
Thank you. You know, Ann, as a teacher, if I see abuse, I have to report it immediately. And if I don't, if the child or the young adult is hurt or maimed or killed, you know, because of the abuse, and I didn't report it or other teachers, our license are on the line, and we could be fired and we could be jailed.
Let me ask you, Terry, it's not just if you see it, if you suspect it, right?
Right, right.
How do they prepare you for that? How do they teach you how to know, A, when you suspect it, what to do about it? What do you know about what your role really is?
You ask questions. If you see a black and blue mark, you ask questions, you know, very non-general questions, mm-hmm. you know, and if it continues, you jot notes down, and then you tell the administrators in the building and other teachers to be on the lookout, and you listen to other teachers, and you call the parent, you know, saying, this is what I've seen, you know, little Johnny or little Susie, you know, hurt himself, you know, what, or some, you know, just you'd be on the lookout. And there are classes that, like, workshops that teachers do take.
Okay.
That they,
have you ever had to do that? Have you ever reported abuse?
Yes. And it turned out, this is what happened recently. At the end of the school, towards the end of the school year, I was I was subbing for a music teacher, and I noticed a little kid had a shiner under his right eye. And I said, okay, I got to make a report on this, you know, and I totally forgot, because at the end of the day, you do all this paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sunday night, I remembered, I went, oh my God, what did, I kind of freaked out. I went, oh my God, I didn't do my job.
Why? Well, I don't get it. What you mean? You forgot to report it?
Right.
I see. Okay.
I was at the end of the day, yeah. I was doing all the paperwork,
right.
You know, telling, you know, the teacher what happened to the class, you know, and I should have said something, you know, but I totally forgot. So Monday morning, 8:05, I was on the phone calling the administrator at that building I was at that Friday,
mm-hmm.
and I told him about it, and they said, we'll look into it, and it turned out, it wasn't a black and blue mark. It was a, what do you call it? A birthmark.
Oh.
So it looked like a shiner, mm-hmm. you know? But I was totally, you know, I said, oh my God, if this kid gets hurt over the weekend because I forgot to do, you know, it's, you know, I felt terrible,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
But you do have to report it, you know? And there's books you could pick up, you know, and you could talk. And there's like, we have help hotline that we call for assistance, you know, and like you say, like I said, you talk to other teachers,
okay,
about, you know, if they suspect
right.
it, and you just keep your ears to the ground with the kids in the classroom, because they'll tell you what goes on in other kids' lives, you know, because they come from the same neighborhood or they come from the same family, you know, cousins, you know.
Right. All right. Well, so you think that there is an obligation and there should be required to report at Penn State when the allegations were first made, when the suspicions were
yes.
first? Okay.
Right. At any age, even if adults,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you're seeing adults getting abused physically or sexually, that has to be, you know, you have to do it. You know, you might not feel right doing it because you don't want to be known as a choke, you know, being a busybody, but you
mm-hmm.
know what? In the end, you know, you're helping society.
Okay. All right, yeah. Terry, I mean, thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
You're quite welcome.
Take care. We're having an open forum today. We're talking about the Penn State punishment. Wins from 98 to 11. Vacated, $60 million fine. That's a whopper. But it also happens to equal the amount of revenue or 1 year of gross revenue from the football team. That's a whopper, too. We'll be right back with our open forum on All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
Thank you. This is 89.7 NPR News. And as a basic member of our station, you'll receive a one-year subscription to Newsweek magazine, our airfare program guide, the WOSUFYIE newsletter, and a grocery tote. A basic membership starts at just $60. Visit WOSU.org and become a member of 89.7 NPR News today. And thanks for your support.
Support for 89.7 comes from The Other Paper, Columbus's news and entertainment weekly, on newsstands every Thursday and online at theotherpaper.com.
78 degrees in downtown Columbus, mostly cloudy skies today. There is a chance of a shower or thunderstorm popping up, a high of 91. Clouds for tonight with still a chance of rain, a low of 74 degrees. Cloudy on Tuesday, and the same story, a chance of showers and a high right around 90. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues. This is 89.7 NPR News.
$60 million fine to be placed in an endowment to go to help victims of child sex abuse. $60 million is the amount of 1 year of gross revenue of the football team at Penn State. A four-year bowl ban at Penn State. Scholarship reduction from 25 to 15 scholarships for 4 years. Wins from 1998 to 2011 are vacated at Penn State. 5 years of probation for the program and a formal investigation of individuals after the criminal cases have concluded to see if there should be sanctions on individuals. Those are the six big sanctions against against Penn State issued this morning by the NCAA. What do you think? 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You can also go to the Facebook page and post your question or comment there. Allie in Columbus, you're on the air. You think the NCAA is overstepping?
Let me first go ahead and say I don't think there's been enough of a punishment, but it should not come from the NCAA. First of all, the kids' safety is paramount. And I think what Penn State did is disgusting. And with all due respect, and I think for you to even bring up Ohio State with some of the things that happened with Terrell Pryor and Tressel in the same light as even mentioning it with Penn State, I think that's a little bit...
There's no question they're not even comparable in terms of the egregiousness of it. However, the issue of whether NCAA should have ability to may have sanctions does play into it.
Well, the thing about the NCAA, keep in mind, their whole thing is to make sure that the school doesn't gain competitive advantage. So if they did gain competitive advantage, that's where the NCAA comes in. I think this should have been done by either the state or the state of Pennsylvania.
Hmm.
And the other thing I want to make sure is that they allow the current players to transfer out of Penn State to another university without losing any eligibility, because these players had nothing to do with it. But I don't think the NCAA has the authority or should have the authority to do this. But at the same point, I want to make sure that people also understand, in my opinion, this is probably not severe enough for Penn State, but it should not come from the NCAA.
By the way, they are going to be able to transfer out with no penalties.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Sorry, I wasn't able to get to all of the finer points, but yes, that is the case, and I get it. So I get what you're saying, but it's just the wrong messenger.
Right, exactly, because, again, the whole thing about the NCAA is, did they gain competitive advantage? It's a voluntary organization that these schools join, and it shouldn't be coming. There was no, again, process that they went through, and I wonder if they can appeal it. That's the other thing with it is, can Penn State technically appeal it?
Yeah, apparently they're not going to, is from what I understand. They're taking it.
But at the same point, like I said before, I actually think that the sanctions are too light.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
What do you think they should do before we go?
I have mixed feelings about this. There were things, if they give them the death penalty, you know, obviously there's restaurants, hotel owners,
right.
The whole university, the state college is going to suffer because it's a small city.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like Columbus, Ohio, where, you know, there's other reasons people come to Columbus. There's no reason people go to state college besides Penn State football. I do like the fact that they set up $60 million, but I think they need to go after the coaches and the administrators.
Well, I think they will as soon as the criminal cases move down the line.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I love the fact that they vacated the wins for Jopa. I don't think, again, you should penalize the kids. I think they should just remove it for him. You know, how about players that played over there that didn't know anything about this, that played in 2002? Now all of a sudden you're telling them that those wins didn't matter. It's a fine line, but at the same thing, the most important thing you can do is stand up for individuals that can't stand up for themselves, which would be the youth of our society. And for Penn State to do what they did, I just think it is absolutely disgusting. I would hope that the Big Ten would even ask them to leave the conference. And, you know, you don't want to be associated with a program that puts, you know, kids' safety below their wins and their reputation.
Sends a very strong message to other schools that might be doing or ever confront something similar.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I don't know how Emmert makes his choice as far as what he wants. It just gives him too much authority. And, again, I understand that Penn State did the free report, and that's what they were basing it off of. But there is no rhyme or reason to what the NCAA does.
That's an interesting idea, though. Why can't the state, which owns the school, which runs the school, do this? Why do you have to go to the NCAA?
Remove their tax-exempt status. Mm-hmm. Don't give them funding. There's a lot of other things that they can do to turn around and say, and I would rather see it come from the state or federal level than from the NCAA.
Well, why do you think the state wouldn't do it? What possible reason would they not?
Why haven't they done it? Mm-hmm. Right now.
Because mm-hmm. the NCAA is doing the dirty work for them?
It's a great question. I don't know, but those are questions I would like to see. Again, the NCAA is a voluntary organization. You don't have to be a member of the NCAA.
All right. Well, is it Ali?
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your call.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
You bet.
Bye.
Jennifer Seeger was a witness inside the theater in Aurora, Colorado. It was Theater 9 during the shooting on Friday. She explains the scene and gives her reactions.
And then he took that gun and then he pointed it at me right after that. And I was 4 or 5 feet away from the gentleman. And I literally, at that point, instinct just jumped and dived into the aisle. And I just curled up in a ball and waited for him. And I was telling my friends, I was like, don't move. Just sit there. Don't go anywhere.
Once again, that's Jennifer Seeger. She was a witness inside Theater 9. On Friday night, during the shooting at the Aurora, Colorado Theater, she called him a gentleman. I'm not sure everybody would agree with that description, but be that as it may, tell us what you think. Mark in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Ann. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Obviously, my heart goes out to all of the victims, their families and friends, and everybody that was affected. It was a very terrible tragedy, one that seems to be, all too common these days. It seems like, not a year or two goes by that we don't hear about some sort of, mass shooting that happened somewhere, including the one in Oslo, Norway. That was terrible a couple of years ago.
Right.
And then every time that this happens, same thing with the Gabrielle Giffords incident, politicians, they tend to start bringing up the issues of gun control again and saying, oh, we have these shootings, and they use a lot of buzzwords like high-capacity magazines, assault weapons, all these different scary words that I think a lot of people don't necessarily even know what it means, but, it sounds pretty compelling. And then they talk about how we need to, get serious about more laws that are going to protect us from incidents like this. Let me phrase this by saying I'm not by any means a diehard, dyed-in-the-wool conservative. I'm very independent. I have a lot of views that would be considered pretty liberal.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to the Second Amendment and gun ownership and responsible gun ownership, I just think that it's really going about it the wrong way because, for instance, in that theater, the Cinemark theaters are posted no gun zones. So even law-abiding citizens who have gone through certification and are eligible to have concealed carry.
Yeah, in other words, guns, it doesn't matter. Somebody's bound and determined. They're going to ignore the rules anyway.
Right. Exactly. The difference between a citizen and a criminal is that a criminal has no regard for the law. And unless you're going to have metal detectors and secure armed security at every place, every theater, every mall, everywhere where, you know, there's a high probability, unless you're going to do that, which is going to cost a lot of money, and it's going to also invade people's privacy and their personal space, unless people are willing to do that, there's no way that you're going to be able to exclude every single incident. What I would say is the one idea that I haven't really heard is that if these gun-free zones were minimized, or if we were more open to responsible citizens who undergo training, who serve as kind of hidden watchdogs for the rest of us, you know, who are armed and are able to do that, because the number of police officers is so little compared to the population. If you just allow citizens, kind of like how there's a volunteer fire department, they want to take responsibility for their community by volunteering. You could have essentially a volunteer citizens watchdog.
Yeah, but couldn't we end up with sort of a multiply problematic situation as we had down in Florida with the Trayvon Martin killing and that guy out there running around kind of, you know,
right.
he was a block watch.
The worry about vigilantism,
yeah,
and people making mistakes. Well, that's why, I mean, I think that when there are questionable situations, you know, then people need to be held accountable and it needs to go to a court, a jury, and the evidence needs to be looked at. So people should be, same thing with accidents. You know, if people have an accident and that results in death or injury, then there should be a trial and that, you know, the evidence should be presented, whether that person was grossly negligent. I mean, that happens anyway. But I think that if you had, you know, if you had responsible people and they had training and they were permitted and the places where they couldn't carry their legally permitted weapon were minimized, because you see a lot of these shootings happen in areas where it's prohibited for legal citizens to carry. I don't know. That's just my two cents on the whole thing. When I hear it, it doesn't make sense. And I've heard a lot of that rhetoric of talking about kind of the buzzwords, the scary words,
you know,
all these different things, high capacity magazines. It's really, that's not the issue, because, you know, you look back in the, you know, I'm probably going to get my years wrong, but the 1600s or 1700s, 1800s, when Jack the Ripper killed a lot of people with just a knife, you know what I mean? It's the psychopathic, and it tends to be the semi-genius or intelligent psychopaths that really do the most damage. I would just advocate for allowing responsible citizens to defend themselves in both rounds.
It's interesting. I don't know about Norway, but really nothing. There haven't been more rules and regulations and limits put on gun ownership in the United States since the Giffords shooting and all those people who died that time. There hasn't been that much. People talk about it a lot, but nothing ever really happens.
Right. I think they did implement something where now it's illegal, even if you're a licensed concealed carry, to have a firearm within a certain radius of a elected politician. They did implement that.
Okay.
But once again, a criminal is going to disregard that. They're going to speak up like Loeffner did. But what I would say is, what if some of the staffers were trained and had concealed carries? Would they necessarily have been able to stop him? No. Would they have had a chance? Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that's the whole thing. Would it necessarily stop or prevent these things? No. But would it give a chance that they would end more quickly? Because that's another statistic, is a lot of these violent mass shooting psychopaths, when confronted with force by police or in some cases by citizens, they either commit suicide or give up because, you know, they just want to do as much damage as they can, but they're not prepared, you know, to deal with the repercussions.
All right, Mark. Thanks for your call.
That's my two cents. I just wanted to put that out there. Thanks for giving me some time.
No problem. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
We have an email from Lazarus. Writes, in my view, an assault rifle is a weapon of mass destruction and should be confined to only the military and other paramilitary institutions. What is the justification for allowing individual citizens to legally own such weapons? There should be a permanent ban on assault and or semi-automatic weapons. Too many lives are being lost unnecessarily. And, of course, what Mark was just saying is, with or without a ban, people who want to kill in this way will find a way to do it one way or the other. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Anthony in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hey. You know, I wanted to comment on Colorado. You know, I figure, you know, nobody's advocating, you know, that no one is allowed to have a firearm or anything like that. I mean, this is America. But can't we meet somewhere in the middle ground? Because, you know, when Obama got elected, gun sales went up because everybody's afraid. Well, and he didn't even do anything to go after guns or gun sales or anything like that. But we put a man on the moon. So clearly there's some type of system that we can have to meet in the middle, because these people that are buying things on the Internet, really, if they wanted to, they could track. I mean, there is some type of way. Now you're infringing on people's freedoms, but you still can track these types of things. We have to meet in the middle on
this. What do you think, though? I mean, Anthony, what are you thinking about that? What do you mean by the middle ground? What is the middle ground? There's gun control, but to what extent? Are you saying more gun control or less or what?
Well, a little bit more, because I guess, you know, and listen, I'm not claiming to be a rocket scientist here, but I think that a bunch of smart guys in a room can figure this out. I mean, we put a man on the moon. And the other thing is, you can't advocate everybody in the whole world just walking around with a gun. Other than that, it's going to be the Wild Wild West. And, I mean, more people will die, you know. But there's something that these people can figure out. I mean, politicians, I mean, even, you know, us as citizens, because, you know, the popular sentiment is not to take away our guns, and that's not what I'm advocating. I'm saying that there's some type of way that we can figure out some type of system. I mean, we built the Internet. I mean, as Americans, you know, we can do anything that we want. So this is a social issue, and I'm sure we can
We got to keep talking about it, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's some type of system that can be figured out, because, I mean, the guy bought all this stuff off the Internet. You know, years and years before this, the Internet wasn't even invented. But, I mean, they can track what you're doing on the Internet. And if you don't think that they are, you've got to be kidding me.
Well, that's a whole other ball of wax, isn't it?
Exactly. That's So together, and I mean politicians and just regular citizens, we can come to some type of middle ground and figure something out, because either that or everybody's going to be scared and everybody's going to be walking around with guns on their waist. And you might as well call me sheriff, and everybody will be a sheriff. You can't advocate the whole thing to be wild, wild west.
Okay.
It won't work.
All right. Well, Anthony, let's see what some other folks have to say. Maybe someone will have some ideas. And thanks for yours.
Hey, thanks.
Take care. We have an open forum today. We've been talking about the NCAA's sanctions against Penn State. We're also talking, of course, about the shooting in Aurora, Colorado, the mass murder in Aurora, Colorado by a gunman, suspected gunman. So if you want to join the conversation, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You can also go to the Facebook page and post your question or comment there. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
Start your day with local updates from the award-winning WOSU News team.
But the Friends of Good Ale Park Board and the Columbus Recreation and Parks say they think the water level is finally stable after the pond was filled for a third time last month.
It's here now, so we should be thankful it's back to where it was. So hopefully it stays this way.
Hear the latest in local and national news on Morning Edition on 89.7 NPR News, your all-day NPR news station.
This is 89.7 NPR News. Stay right here in 20 minutes at 11 o'clock. Hour 2 of All Sides begins. And celebrating life with humor with author, humorist, and speaker Gina Barreca joining the show. That's from 11 till noon here on 89.7 NPR News.
Support for 89.7 comes from Palmer Miller Nelson Insurance Agency Incorporated, serving Central Ohio homeowners and businesses since 1855. More information at 261-6300 or online at pmnins.com.
79 degrees with cloudy skies in downtown Columbus. Mostly cloudy throughout the day today with a chance of a shower or thunderstorm popping up, a high of 91. Clouds for tonight, still a chance of rain, a low of 74. And same thing for Tuesday, cloudy skies with a chance of rain, a high of 90. More clouds Tuesday night, a low of 68. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues. This is 89.7 NPR News. Thanks for joining us.
We have two streams of consciousness today during the open forum on All Sides. One are the NCAA sanctions against Penn State. The other, what do we do in the wake of the latest mass shooting in Aurora, Colorado? Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. What do you think? Rich in Columbus, you're going to have to turn down your radio.
Okay, my radio's off.
Okay. It's still not. I can hear it.
It's off.
Okay. Okay.
First of all, I am a gun owner. Have been for 19 years now, since I turned 21. And I just think we need to find some balance. As for the shootings in Colorado, I don't know that you can necessarily stop crazy. But what we can look at is all the crimes committed with guns, maybe not quite to that extent. But I don't know how any reasonable person could look at our society and not see that we have too many guns. The bigger problem than too many guns is we have those guns are in the hands of people who should not have them. I would like to see something where we just have a tighter controls on who's allowed to have a gun. Like take the concealed carry law in Ohio. Maybe that should just be applied across the board. If you're going to purchase or buy a firearm, then you should be able to meet those standards.
Okay.
That's my comment.
All right, Rich. I'm going to have to turn you off because for some reason there's some technological glitch that is creating an echo, but I do appreciate your call. That's Rich. He's a gun owner. He wants higher standards on who can own and operate guns. What do you think? Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We can turn to the NCAA sanctions now. Green in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Green.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello?
Yep, you're on the air.
Okay, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'd like to comment on the Penn State issue.
Okay.
This is getting too difficult to resolve. There are players that are not going to be able to play at Penn State. That is the community that is going to suffer. There are the taxpayers that are going to have to pay this $60 million. And Penn State will have to be distracted from the academic program. So I have a suggestion. I think Penn State should simply cancel football entirely. Withdraw from NCAA, cancel the entire football program, focus on education for the next 10 years. And when they get their act together, they should come back into the program and re-register. And this will just solve the problem for everybody, and we move on to something else.
One thing before you go on, from the way I understand things working, the $60 million penalty would not come from taxpayers. It would come from the university. That represents the gross revenue from 1 year of football at Penn State, just so we're clear on that, would be taking revenue from the university, not from the taxpayers' pockets.
Well, let's think Penn State is a state-funded school.
Yes, it is, but the funding doesn't go to the football program. The football program supports itself.
Well, okay. All right.
I just wanted to make sure. Sometimes people get confused about that, and I wanted to make sure. You think they should just shut down everything?
They should shut down everything, withdraw from it voluntarily because it's too much distraction, and this is going to be endless. They should just shut down the football program, take some time out, because it's just there's too many things unraveling. You know, the next thing you know, the library will be closed down, or they're going to remove his name from there, and they're going to keep all the revenue. What about all the money they made over the years? Is the school going to give back all the money that Joe Paterno made for them? I think it's an unfortunate situation. They shouldn't have gotten into this. I think it's sad that they let these kids suffer. But I think the way to remedy it is just shut down, get out of football.
Make a clean sweep.
And just move on to something else.
It should be noted that Joe Paterno did donate about $9 million to the university. There's several buildings apparently named for him, including the library, as you pointed out, Green. one of the reasons why he was beloved in many ways. So, Green, thanks for your call. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Take care. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Artie and Bexley are on the air. You want to talk about the gun control. Hi,
Artie. I'm imagining after hearing Mark's comments a few moments ago about well-trained and armed private citizens who are sitting beside me in a public place. Let's presume for a moment I'm one of them. I've got a gun. I'm well-trained. I'm a good guy. Somebody steps into the public realm, he's a lunatic, and he starts shooting people. The guy behind me is a good guy. He opens fire. How am I to know who are the good guys? I start to imagine a second shooter, which is entirely possible, and I'm not sure if I'm not going to end up in the middle of a modern-day barroom brawl with everybody armed. I think this idea of knowing who are the good guys and who aren't the good guys in such a situation where everyone's armed and a bunch of them are great guys, I think that's problematic.
Yeah, the way you describe it that way, I think it does sound problematic. Good guys. Who do you know who's the good guy and who's the bad guy?
Let's say the theater usher walks in. He happens to be armed, and he opens fire on the bad guy. In a split second of none of us is trained enough. Even our law enforcement officers are plagued with the challenge of being trained well enough to respond. I just can't imagine that I'm going to put down my popcorn and know who to shoot first.
What do you think about metal detectors and that sort of thing?
I'm all for it.
Okay. That kind of would solve the problem or at least go to some in that direction?
I think so, too. And I just, since I got you on the phone, I'm just going to say that the fellow who just called and said shut down the whole football program, I think he's right. And I think, frankly, we have to remind ourselves, this is just football. We need to not be so, we should not care so much about football that we put people in danger. It's just football. It's really not that important.
Let me ask you, Artie, what do you think about, I can't remember her name, but she called early on in the program, and she said that, why didn't the state do this? Why does the NCAA have the power to do this? Why doesn't the state step in and take care of its own business?
Great question.
Yeah,
great question. I think this actually has nothing to do with football. It's all about criminal action. Mm-hmm. And but the state has stepped in. The state has stepped in and prosecuted and convicted Mr. Sandusky. So really, when we talk about what should happen with football, I don't know that I want my governor and my legislature worrying about football. That's the last thing we need to worry about.
Okay.
A group of hobbyists who are probably overpaid oversee football. That's okay with me.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Artie, for your call.
Thanks, Ann.
Take care.
Bye.
614-292-8513. Diane in Delaware, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I'd like to comment on gun owners who always tout their right to own guns under the Second Amendment. I also have a right to go to the movie without being killed. One has rights when one doesn't step on someone else's rights. The NRA is extremely powerful. They determine elections. They determine laws. I think it's time for them to step up and say, we don't need assault rifles. From what I understand, the man who did all the killing, James Holmes, would have killed more people if his assault rifle had not jammed. We don't need assault rifles, and it's time for the NRA to also state that fact.
Well, the NRA represents a lot of people who are Second Amendment backers, but it also represents a lot of gun manufacturers. People,
okay.
You know, the companies that make the guns. Okay. All right.
Thank you.
You bet. Thanks, Diane, for your call. 614-292-8513. Justin in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Justin.
Hi, Ann. Thanks for taking my call. I was going to comment on gun rights, but the two previous callers basically said everything I was going to say.
Oh, okay.
So if I may say something about the NCAA's role in this recent scandal, I just find it very unusual that the NCAA is attempting to position itself as some kind of moral authority here, because they, you know, since the NCAA's inception several decades ago, they've kind of made up what it is their role is going to be in the sports world, and not always, and sometimes with very nefarious kind of intentions and motivations, and done by some less than savory characters. And if I could point listeners to an article that appeared about 10 months ago in The Atlantic, it was called The Shame of College Sports. And it was an article that was essentially about whether or not college athletes should be paid. But there was a good piece in there about the history of the NCAA and its inception and how it gained the kind of power it does.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the NCAA is mostly motivated as a profit kind of oriented model there. And so I don't know that a judgment of moral questions such as these ought to come under the arbitration of a pretty flawed institution, if you ask me.
A body that depends on football and college sports being big.
Yeah, and what I would say that that institution has a lot to do with propelling this hero worship and this culture of sports as the ultimate sort of activity that is really superseding liberal arts and higher education in the minds of boosters and university supporters. I think, you know, that's what draws attention, that's what draws money, that's what draws cultural worship, for lack of a better word, in our current present day. And I, you know, would like to see that pendulum swing back to an academic-oriented culture. And I don't know if how sincere the NCAA is being when it makes a move like this.
All right. Well, Justin, thanks for the call.
Thank you, Ann.
Appreciate it.
Bye.
Bye-bye. 614-292-8513. Ken in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Ken.
Thank you. I think the what's happening is gerrymandering. Most elections now are determined by who gets a nomination for one party or the other.
You mean who gets through the primary phase?
Primary phase.
Mm-hmm.
So you have extremes getting control of the party. You have the gun lobbyists getting control. So I think no party's talking about controlling this. They have a lot of money, and they are in control. And until we get another way of redistricting, a fair way, where we have the general election mean something, we're not going to deal with this issue, in my opinion.
This and probably many others in that case.
Right. That's why you don't have any compromise in Congress. Because they're catering to their extremes. And so for them to get re-nominated, which could mean winning the general election because there's no competition in the general election,
mm-hmm.
they have to take extreme views,
okay.
and they're uncompromised.
Mm-hmm.
So it affects your whole government. So we have a government that's not functional. And it also goes with guns as well, weapons as well.
All right. All comes down to
weapons. I don't think anyone can expect anything to be done. And until the system changes with gerrymandering.
All right. Well, Ken, thanks for your call. It all goes back to politics, right?
Okay.
All
yes.
right.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. 614-292-8513. Selena, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
I would like to say first, I agree with the gentleman who said, you know, football, let's get away from football and college and focus on academics. Universities around the world turn out excellent students. They focus on academics, and there isn't all this peripheral football rubbish that we definitely go through here in Columbus and all over the USA. And then to guns. I have a very unpopular stance on guns. I would like to see all guns banned in the United States. There's no reason. Guns are only manufactured to kill someone or something. That's the only reason that guns exist. And I sort of scoff at the hypocrisy of people every day when someone is shot, and everyone is so shocked about it. Why are we shocked? We love guns. We are a gun-worshipping nation. So that's all I have to say.
All right, Selena, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Take care. Scott in Pickerington, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Scott.
Yeah, hi. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
I just had a comment about the Colorado situation. I've heard a lot on several shows over the past few days. A lot of the comments are geared towards assault rifles and how we get rid of the assault rifles. That'll solve a problem. I am not a member of the NRA. I own a couple rifles myself. They are bolt action, very simple. I've been around guns since I was 16. And what a lot of people seem to forget is you can put regulations in place, but crazy people are going to circumvent those anyway. Okay? And so maybe this guy in Colorado had legal pump-action shotguns instead of an assault rifle. I don't feel that a lot less damage would be done. Crazy people are going to be crazy regardless of what laws you have in place. Yeah, that's really all I have. I enjoy the show.
All right. Thank you, Scott.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bela in Grandview? Or Bela?
Bela.
I'm sorry.
Bela, yes.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. In regards to the guns, I was going to further the comment the fellow just made. Bad guys will always have access to guns. And it seemed more as if the situation was one of which he shouldn't have been able to go out that side exit door and enter back into an exit door. There should be some sort of monitoring system. If the door is ajar, then somebody ought to be able to go over and close that door. And in regards to guns, I have three sons. They all own guns. I don't, but they own lots of guns. Two of them are Marines, and they all have concealed carry. And I guarantee you, if one of them had been in that theater, they would have put a stop to the guy immediately. There would have been no problem in seeing who's the bad guy, the guy up front in a black outfit shooting at everybody.
But they wouldn't have guns.
If there were a metal detector, no. But my kids have concealed carry license to carry them. So, yes, they would have been able to have that. I'm always hoping in situations like that that there is a quote-unquote good guy that has common sense, can evaluate the situation, and take the appropriate action.
All right, Bela, that's as far as we can go. Thanks so much for your call.
Thank you much, Ann.
Thanks to everybody for their calls today. We really appreciate it. And thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.